Hi there, Trinity Church. My name's Andy. And I'm going to be talking to you a bit today about prayer and fasting. But before I do that, I've just been feeling this week that I really wanted to take a second or a moment to encourage you and to speak the love of God into your life. I don't know how your week has been this week. I don't know if you've had a really good week or a really hard week. I don't know if you've been really busy or not. I don't know if you're really feeling isolated or whether you're quite enjoying being with your family. But wherever you are, I just wanted to speak in now and say God really, really loves you. He really cherishes you. He really delights in you. He takes great joy in who you are. The Bible tells us that God dances with joy over you, that you're the apple of his eye, that he sings with great delight over you. It tells us that he's our friend, that he's our brother, that he's our father, that we can trust him. It tells us that he just loves to be present in your life. And I just want to pray for you now, just before I preach. I just want to pray that you'd know the power of God in your life right now. So Jesus, I thank you that you're a God who presences yourself with us, Lord. I thank you that you're a God who comes into rooms and changes the whole atmosphere. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would open people's eyes to your presence. Their hearts, their minds. I pray that people would know you very present in their room right now, Lord. I pray that you would come and fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would pour your love into people's hearts, Lord. I pray that they would know your love in this season. Jesus, you are the lover of our souls. And I pray that we would really just know you right now. I pray that we would have a new revelation of how good you are and how kind you are. Oh God, I just want to ask you now to powerfully encounter people, Lord. And Jesus, we say that we love you. We cherish you. You are the one that we love. You are the one that we live for. Jesus, I pray and ask you to give us a hope-filled expectation of the future. I pray that we would be expectant for you breaking in, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I just want to take a few minutes of your time to look at prayer and fasting. I think it's vitally important in this season that we as Christians engage in prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is us saying that, God, we are fully reliant on you. Giving up food is a way of us saying we're not going to comfort our needs with anything other than God. It's us saying actually that I hunger after God more than I hunger after filling my tummy with this temporary filling. Now don't get me wrong, eating is really important and God has given it us to sustain us. But there's moments where God just asks us to diligently seek his face. And this is one of those moments. I know that for a while, at the beginning of lockdown, I was longing for normality to come back. And then one day I was driving to Tesco's about 3 weeks after being at home with my family for just not going out anywhere. And on the way, I got this sudden thought, do I want normality to come back? And I've been trying to pray and process and fast and think, God, what are you saying about that? And the place I've come to so far is that I believe that God wants greater things to happen in the season to come than I've seen in the season past. I believe that God wants to see greater breakthrough, greater miracles. I believe that God wants to bring healing power in a much greater measure. I believe that God wants to pour his spirit out. I believe that God wants to bring salvation. I believe that God wants to bring transformation in many people's lives. I believe God wants to change our hearts and minds and increase our faith in the future. I believe that God wants to change this nation. I believe that he wants to transform this nation. I believe that he wants to see his kingdom come more and more. And I believe as a Christian that I have an active role to play. This nation has never needed God more than it does now. And God says, the church is here to be my representative here and now. And so I'm really fasting and praying and asking God for guidance and breakthrough. And I want to encourage you to join me on this journey, to join us as a church on this corporate prayer and fast. We're praying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we're praying and fasting every Friday. And so we're gathering together in a corporate way as much as we possibly can in order to say to God, we're completely reliant on you for the breakthrough. We're completely reliant upon you for the kingdom to come in greater measure. We're completely reliant upon you to change us and transform us. We're completely reliant upon you. And we want to express that to you. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6, he said this, When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Did you hear that? The very first line is, when you fast. Jesus expected his followers to fast. Jesus expected his followers to give things up in order to hunger after him, to diligently seek his face, to pray for breakthrough. Jesus said, when you fast, to his followers. And then it says that when you fast, your Father, who sees it, if it's done in the right way, for his glory and for his kingdom, he will reward you. There is great reward in fasting. And I believe that we can see greater things as we come to God in prayer and fasting. We can see greater outbreaks. We can see more salvation. We can have hope. And I think people throughout history, God's people, have come to God in different seasons when they've really needed God to break through. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights without bread and water. That's a miraculous fast. But he fasted so that he could go up and get the Ten Commandments from God. And he went up to Mount Sinai and he got the Ten Commandments and he went down and he took the Israelites from one season into a new season, into a new place. Esther fasted. So there's the story of Esther when God's people were really struggling and in a bad place. They were being held down by the king of the time. They were being persecuted. And Esther had a position where she was able to fast and pray and then get access to the king and ask for his favour so that the people of God could have freedom. And she diligently sought God's face before going in to ask the favour for the king. She sought the favour of God before seeking the favour of the king. And what came out of that was that God's people had new and refreshed freedom. Ezra and Nehemiah, they called a corporate fast where they got everyone together after they'd built the city, after they'd built the city and the city walls. They called the people to a corporate fast. And part of their fast was to pray, to seek God's face and to repent when he spoke. There may be, as we fast, there might be some things that come up where we need to repent and to change our ways and to change our minds and to change our actions in order to seek after God's kingdom. And the early church fasted. In Acts 13, there's this fantastic passage where the church come together and they're fasting and praying. And they're fasting and praying before sending Paul and Barnabas out. And they send Paul and Barnabas out with what? With the gospel to the Gentiles. Listen, most of us listening, most of us, including me talking, wouldn't be saved today had the early church not prayed and fasted and listened to God's guidance, asked him for breakthrough, and then taken the gospel to us. Prayer and fasting is an important and vital thing that we need to be involved in, and Jesus expected you to do it. Jesus expected his followers and his disciples to fast and to give things up, to hunger after him. There's this fantastic passage that I've been really focusing on this week, and it's a story of King Jehoshaphat. Now, King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Jehoshaphat was a man who hungered after God. He was hungry for God's breaking in. He sought God's face. And this is how the Bible describes him. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. I'd love to be described as a man whose heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And I'd love you to be described as a people and a person who is courageous in the ways of the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat didn't live a perfect life, and he was not perfectly like in faith constantly. And at the beginning of chapter 20, what happens is the nations around are threatening, and they want to come to war against King Jehoshaphat and Judah. And what happens? King Jehoshaphat gets afraid. It says here, chapter 20, verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. Let's be honest, some of us are afraid in this series, in this situation, in this now, in this time. There's fear. Let's just be frank with that. But what did King Jehoshaphat do? It says this, he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The whole of the people came together to seek the Lord for his guidance and for his help. The people were gathered together to seek the guidance for God's help to come. And what happens next is amazing. As they're praying and fasting together, one of the people from amongst them, one of the prophets from amongst them, says this. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. And they all bowed down and worshipped God. When they sought God's face, when they got hunger for God, when they fasted and gave things up and they said, God, we're hungering after you. God, we need your help. God, we need your breakthrough. Prophets from amongst them heard the voice of God and spoke in. And they spoke with such guidance. And it says, God will be with you in this battle. You need to march out. So they got direction. You need to march out. And as you march out, you will see the God of your fathers winning this battle. And what happens in the end is they don't have to fight at all, because the three different nations that have come together actually turn in on each other and kill themselves. And then what happens is the Israelites, or the Jewish people, the Judah, spend 3 days collecting the spoils from the camp where these people have killed each other. 3 days collecting the riches that are available there. Trinity, I believe that this battle belongs to the Lord. I believe that we need to diligently seek his face. And as we diligently seek his face, as we humble ourselves, as we get down on our knees and pray, as we say, God, it is you, as we live in repentance and a willingness to change, God will hear our cry, and he will hear our cry, and he will heal our land. I believe, and I want to encourage you to be involved in this. Be involved in this for the breakthrough of this nation, for God's breakthrough. Be involved in this praying, be involved in this fasting. Let's get on our knees. Let's say, God, we diligently seek you. God, we hunger after your breakthrough. And be diligently listening for his words and his direction and his guidance. Because he will guide us. He will guide us into truth and righteousness. Now, as I was preparing to talk about fasting, a passage came up, and that was Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 58 is all about the true fast. And at the beginning of Isaiah 58, I'm sure you've read this before, but it basically is God, the first like seven verses, is all about God saying, this isn't the kind of fasting that I've asked for you. I don't want you to give up food and this and that and the other if your heart is not right. If your heart is wrong, then you should not do this. And that's why it's important that we have that same attitude as King Jehoshaphat, whose heart is after the Lord, who delights in doing the things of God, who seeks God's face. We need to be those people who are really there just saying, you know, we are here fasting because we want to see your glory come. It's not telling you not to fast, it's telling you to fast and expect and desire the things of God. And I think as we do this, I think God will guide us. I think God will give us a new and fresh heart for the vulnerable in society. I know that as a church, we do a lot for our community, and I'm amazed every time I walk into Food Bank, especially at the moment. I walked into the church centre the other day, I had to deliver something, and I walked in and it's like this food store all around, and they're doing an amazing job of feeding the vulnerable. They're doing an amazing job, and you know, Pat, Lisa and your team, I am amazed by you, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, and our thanks are with you. And we run the CAP Centre, and we run all sorts of different things, baby basics, because we want to see God's kingdom come. So I believe that our heart is right. I believe that our heart is right. And this is what it says. Is this not the true fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break the yoke, break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. I think there's a fact, like I just said before, we're doing quite a lot as a corporate church. But I think God will speak into us more and more of how to be generous in this season. I believe that we want to be the most generous people. I believe that as we fast and seek God, he will call us to be a generous people. He will call you to be a generous person. He will call you to be generous towards other people. He'll call you to be generous to the stranger. He'll call you to be generous to your neighbours. He'll call you to be generous to your church. He'll call you to be generous. And I want you to have in mind, as you seek God, that he will call you to do things which might stretch you. And I want you to be saying, how do I be generous towards the outsider at this moment? How do I be generous to other people in these moments? And as a church, we've been thinking about this. I was talking to Jerry and Duncan, we were in elders the other day. And we know that some people in the church will have real hardship at the moment. But we also know that some people will be spending a little bit less. And I just want to encourage you, if you're living in a place where you're spending a little less, but your income isn't different. How are you being generous with that? We're going to look into creating a welfare pot for the church and church members. Now, if you're struggling financially, please come and tell us. We want to be praying for you. We want to be looking for ways that we can be generous towards you. But we also want you to know that you're part of the generosity of the church. As you're generous, then it allows the church to be generous. And we want to create this welfare pot to help those in the church who are struggling. We want to be like the Acts church, where one person doesn't have a lot and one person a little, but they shared their wealth between them. They were generous towards each other. Now, I want to call you to a spirit of generosity in this season. That's a place I've come to in my prayer and fasting, a spirit of generosity. I think we're called to be a generous people. And there'll be more information coming out about how to be generous and ways you can do that, and ways and you can give money to other people. We're looking for ways. But I just pray that as you engage in prayer and fasting, have this passage, Isaiah 58, in mind. Let my heart be right before God. Let my heart be right towards the other people around me. Let us love really well. Let us show God's love really well. And let us be really hungry for this breakthrough. I believe God is going to bring breakthrough. And I believe the next season will be a season of breakthrough, will be a season of God's goodness breaking in. Thank you, Trinity. I hope you be blessed.